We are back at it at Hillcrest Golf Club for the BMA Foundation Golf Tournament, and they have teed off. They are gone. They are going to go play some golf today. You're going to be out at hole 14, so if you're rolling by Hillcrest today, I'll let you in on a little secret. If you come out here and go to hole 14, Ryan's going to hook you up.
Yeah, we're going to have Jello shots and a keg of beer.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the BMA
Golf
Tournament.
It's like a frat party at hole 14, and it's a short hole. It's a par 3.
Is it a par 3?
Making sure they leave me a golf cart.
Well, that's the thing.
I am not walking.
You're going to have to fend. Probably Paradise.
This does not walk.
Nick Paradise will probably have a golf cart for you, so you better find it. But this is your first roll at the BMA Golf Tournament, right? This is the first time you've been
here. First time I've been here to it, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the first time you've actually been
out to it. I've always
been
locked in the studio.
Yeah, this is a golf tournament that has been known to have a good time. Okay, there will be things that you will see on the course today that you have never seen before.
Right.
There will be parties going on at just about every single hole.
So it's like the tuxedo T-shirt of golf tournaments.
That's right. And our friend Andrew Barber had a good time a couple of years ago here at the BMA Golf Tournament.
Barber always has a good time.
He has a good time.
Salmon-colored pants.
He had salmon slacks on, and yeah, boy, did he have a good time at the BMA Golf Tournament a couple of years ago. So this is every time we're out here, I always think of Andrew Barber. There's a Fireball out here as well. There's all kinds of beer that is going to be out here. All kinds of food and beverage, and you know, so
this
there's something going on
solo cup?
Every
wow.
single
nice,
hole.
Nice colors of solo
so
cups.
If you're looking to have some fun, roll by hole 14 today here at Hillcrest, and Ryan will hook you up.
Yeah, my guys from Apex Aleworks going to be out there pouring beer,
yep.
And local celebrity Jimmy Gaffney, who has dropped off breakfast burritos and hats.
Yeah,
he's going to be out there with Jello shots.
That's right. Him and Manning Roofing, they're going to be out there together doing their thing, and we're also going to have Four Hands Boulevard, and so there's all kinds of good beverages to imbibe on here at Hillcrest. So come on out, say hello to us, and of course Smokehouse Barbecue doing all the catering for the post round lunch as well. The big news of the day, obviously, if you're just waking up, just getting in your cars, just turning us on, CDOT's done. He's out. He is out of the survivor pool. It's like Kramer, I'm out of the contest, and he is gone from the survivor pool, and it's not even the second Sunday of the NFL season. Not Kramer working the board, but Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld. That's it. I'm out. I'm out of the contest. And that's where Carrington finds himself right now, letting down everybody who picked him to win the survivor pool. I'm not gloating in it because I haven't won anything yet, but I got a better chance of winning now than Carrington does. And that promo said he was going to win it all.
Well, currently everyone has one more victory than Carrington.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And he has two more losses. So that's real upsetting.
Yeah, he's done. And it's just Friday morning.
I trust your opinion on a lot of things, CDOT. We're you know, look, we'll chop it up off the air. I'm no longer listening to your NFL takes.
No, you can't.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, not good.
That was not wonderful at all. It was the entire opposite of wonderful.
Yeah, as we do every week here on 610 Sports Radio, we take a look at whether or not the Chiefs are going to win and the Chiefs are going to lose. We call it the Chiefs win if and the Chiefs lose if. We each give you a couple of reasons why we think the Chiefs are going to win this game today and why we think the Chiefs may potentially trip up a little bit. I don't think they are, but we do it just for theater of the mind as well to let everybody know just in case it does happen what could potentially go wrong.
It's really so when one of us is wrong, we bring it back on Monday and mock them.
That's exactly right. It's basically for that. So cue the NFL music, and Ryan, why don't you kind of get this thing started for us?
Why
the Chiefs will win this week.
I think that the Chiefs, and I'm going defense on both sides this, because I know everyone wants to focus on the offense with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs win if also sponsored by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
Chiefs win if they get multiple sacks of Derek Carr. He was completely clean after the game last week. I don't even think they did the laundry for Derek Carr last week. No sacks. I think they only had, if I'm not mistaken, 5 pressures, and there was only 1 hurry on Derek Carr. So he had all day back in the pocket to sit back there, and this is against a defense that, look, on paper, I think coming into the season, most of us would say the Denver Broncos defense better than the Kansas City Chiefs. You ask me right now if I would trade the entire – I don't know about the whole defense now. I like Honey Badger. I like Frank Clark.
Yeah.
But defensively speaking, they were a much better defense than the Kansas City Chiefs. You couple that with the fact that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And I think you've got a recipe for disaster if you don't get to the quarterback and put some pressure on him. So I think if you get multiple sacks of Derek Carr, Chiefs got an easy dub.
I think for me, I'm going to go the opposite way of you on that one. You say get multiple sacks of Derek Carr. I'm going to say protect Patrick Mahomes. Less than two sacks for the Raiders, and the Chiefs will win this game. We've talked all morning long how important it's going to be for the offensive line to step up and protect Patrick Mahomes, and we'll hear coming up in a little bit about 9:30 this morning from Joe Mays, who we talked to at 8 o'clock, what he expects the Raiders to do against Patrick Mahomes. But I think they got to protect the quarterback. Less than two sacks for the Raiders, and the Chiefs will win this thing.
Text line accurately pointing out KU football has one more win than Carrington.
That's
good.
That's really good. Nicely done, text line. I like that.
Do you think the Dolphins will have more wins this year than Carrington in the NFL Survivor?
There's a man with a guitar in the golf cart right now, so you know it's going to be a nice day.
That's going to be a I think the Dolphins will have one more win.
The Dolphins will probably have more wins than Carrington.
I think that the Chiefs win if I can find my notes here, the Chiefs will win if the defense can get off the field on third down. Look, we talked about Josh Jacobs in the running game, and we heard from offensive coordinator for the Raiders, Greg Olsen, about how this team's built to run the ball. They want to have a 50-50 split. Look, the Chiefs defense has had issues getting off the field on third down for several years now. It's been a bugaboo of this team for quite some time, but it will certainly be a big factor if you've got a team like the Oakland Raiders that like to grind the ball, like to run the ball, and will get themselves into third and short situations. If you get them into that situation, you absolutely have to get off the field, give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. I think it helps for time of possession. And don't give the Raiders confidence that they can move the ball against you, because the more and more confidence they get in that home field, last matchup against the Chiefs at OCO, all of these factors playing into it, I think you have to get off the field on third down to get a W.
And I think for me, the Chiefs win if they make Derek Carr look like the normal Derek Carr. Turn this guy over two times, whether it's a strip sack fumble, whether it's an interception, turn Derek Carr over two times. The Chiefs will win this thing absolutely 100% going away. Good afternoon to you. Two turnovers for Derek Carr. The Chiefs win this football game.
I don't think there's ever been an unattractive woman in white pants. I'm just going to throw
just
that
throw
out
that one out
just
there.
Putting
right
that
now.
Out there.
It's also
the
BMA golf tournament, so you know there's no unattractive ladies here.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah. How do you do?
Yes, hello.
Chiefs lose if, and I said this last week, I will likely say this throughout the season until this defense can prove to me that they can get off the field and make some big stops when you need them. Chiefs lose if they don't win the time of possession battle. And look, again, we'll go back to Josh Jacobs. We'll go back to that 50-50 run split. We'll go back to all of those things that the Raiders want to do. The best defense against the Kansas City Chiefs is a good offense that's going to grind the tempo down in that game and make them have a low-scoring, tight affair. Like, the Chiefs don't want to get into games like that. And I think if you lose the time of possession battle this week against the Raiders, you lose the game.
You told me that I can't say the Chiefs will lose if they don't leave Kansas City, so I think the Chiefs are going to win this thing going away.
Depart Kansas
40
City.
To 24, as long as they make it to the game on time, right? But for me, if Patrick Mahomes throws an interception, I'll say the Chiefs lose the game this weekend. So there it is. Our Chiefs win if, Chiefs lose if. Brought to you by Aristocrat Motors. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, Travis Kelce made a suggestion to anybody who wants to quit their job and walk out in the best way possible. We'll let you hear that next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back at it on a Red Friday here on 610 Sports Radio. We're broadcasting live today from Hillcrest to Country Club for the BMA Golf Tournament. And Ryan's going to be sticking around. I got to run out to the American Royal today and do something out there at about 11 o'clock.
So much booze here.
I told you this was going to be a good time. This is the golf tournament of the year, and it's not even close.
Leave my keys here.
You probably should. You should probably just give me your keys right now. I'll take them with me, and then we'll get you back home on Sunday at some point.
Save a rush, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. But obviously, the big news of the day, of course, is Carrington is out. He is out of the contest. He is out of the survivor pool because he had a pick of some team yesterday that did not win, named the Carolina Panthers.
The Carolina Panthers, who you were trying to talk me
into.
Well,
I know
yesterday.
We were talking about it yesterday, but ultimately we decided to go the right route, pick a team that's going to win.
I don't typically like going with division games.
I
don't like going Thursday. I did pick a division game this week, but I think it's a fine division game to pick. I went with Houston. But Carrington, you are trash for this pick.
Yep.
A lot of your food takes are trash. I don't know if I necessarily agree with a lot of your movie opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Carrington's ever seen a Star Wars movie.
That's fine. I don't mind that.
Yeah, so I think there was the writing was on the wall for us to know that Carrington would be trash in this contest, and we didn't heed those warnings. Our listeners didn't heed those warnings. Many
right.
people went on and voted for him to be the winner. They thought that was going to be the pony to back and that he was going to win you a $250 Visa gift card. That was false.
Yep.
And Carrington, you should hang your head in shame. I think you owe an apology to the station. I think you owe an apology to the listeners. And really, I mean, I think you owe an apology to yourself because you played yourself, man. You tried to be the smartest guy in the room, and you were the dumbest.
Yep, and that's what happens with these survivor pools. You try to be smarter than everybody else instead of just going out and taking the obvious choice. It's survive in advance. It's not, hey, I know more or I can do more or I know things that you don't know, pools. It's just, hey, pick the obvious choice, man, and that's kind of what Joe and I are going to do moving forward.
I mean, there are people calling for his resignation.
Well, I know. It's been really bad on the text line for him today. I'm not there at all.
Hey, I think you should just take the weekend off.
We make mistakes, man. We make mistakes. Things happen, but I'm not going to say I'm not laughing because that promo said he was going to win.
He had 31 NFL teams to choose from this week, and he chose Thursday night Carolina at home.
Right.
It was not.
Against Tampa. I guess he was a believer in
Cam. He had 32 teams to choose from last week, and he went with the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns. He took the Browns last week. That's right. If it's brown, flush it down, as the old saying goes.
If it's yellow, leave it mellow.
That's right. You never take the Browns. Speaking of that, Travis Kelce had pretty good advice. I mean, this is – I thought of you –
Speaking about taking the Browns.
Yeah. I thought of you when I saw this story because you always think about, like, when I quit a job, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, blah, blah, blah. Travis Kelce actually had some pretty good advice, didn't he, for this, Ryan?
I thought he did. This is great advice. I try to dole this out to anybody who quits a job. Travis Kelce appearing on the Tomahawk podcast. It was Joe Thomas's podcast.
Right.
And so they had shared a story with him because they were talking about Antonio Brown and him trying to, you know, tank it and, you know, get out of Oakland. And so Joe Thomas shared a story about, you know, how he was told to tank and get out of Cleveland.
When I was like in my seventh year, the Broncos were making a run. Peyton Manning was still the quarterback. Peyton called me up and basically asked me to go Antonio Brown on our GM at the time in order to get traded because there was some conversation about trading me to the Broncos because they had lost their left tackle for the season. And he asked me to go into my general manager's office and to poop on his desk. Travis Kelce. If you were not playing for the Chiefs, if you were playing for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Chiefs wanted to trade for you, would you go and poop on your GM's desk in order to get traded to the Kansas City Chiefs to play for Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I would probably poop on the desk for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some opportunities you just can't pass
you
up.
You just can't pass.
So there's Travis Kelce with the advice of a lifetime. If you want to go play with Patrick Mahomes, poop on your boss's desk and you will get traded to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here's a weird observation I made, though. If Antonio Brown actually had done that, it would have been the least weird part of the Antonio Brown saga.
It's probably
true, pooping
right?
on a desk. We'd be like, well, that's just, I mean, you kind of saw that one coming. It's nothing compared to some of the other stuff.
Yeah. You're probably right. It would have been the least weird thing that Antonio Brown did throughout all of this. Now, I think it's interesting to note that obviously you can't get traded from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand all of that, but let's say in a year or so something happens with the Chiefs, like Tyreek Hill is no longer part of the team, Travis Kelce's retired, and Sammy Watkins hurt himself and he's out for the year, okay? Let's just use this as an example. And all of a sudden, a team, let's call it Seattle, just for argument's sake, is really, really good, and they really want Patrick Mahomes. Do you think if he went in and pooped on Brett Veach's desk, Brett Veach would even consider trading Patrick Mahomes? Like if you're Mahomes, you've got carte blanche basically to do anything you want.
You just box
to the boss,
that up
right?
and sell it on eBay.
Like yeah, you know,
somebody's going to buy it. A coiled up lump of Patrick Mahomes poop.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes just pooped on my desk. Who's going to pay me for it? It's got the PM logo on it and everything. Who wants it, right? I'll take it. So somebody will definitely buy that.
I'd put the buy now on that at $250.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Somebody would absolutely purchase that. But what great advice from Peyton Manning to Joe Thomas. I'm glad that trade never went through because I did not want to see
Broncos
Joe Thomas.
Broncos won a Super Bowl that year, too.
Was it the year they won? Was it the year they won or the year they didn't win?
It was the year they won. Yeah, okay. he went on to say that that was the year they won the Super Bowl.
So he should have pooped on the desk of the Jets.
Definitely should have taken a crap on the desk.
If you're Cleveland at that point in time, Joe Thomas isn't going to play that much longer, right? He had a couple more years left with you. You clearly aren't an organization that's going to do anything good. Why wouldn't you go out there and trade
magic
him?
Dump. I would. People be driving from like 50 miles away to get a hype.
Hey, did you hear they got that Mahomes Magic Dump on sale?
Back in stock, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go get it. Straight from Brett Veach's desk, we got the Mahomes Magic Dump. Yeah, people would go crazy. Go crazy. Crazy for that.
I don't understand how you can just do that on demand. That's nothing I could do. If you told me right now to go take a dump, I'd have to really think about it.
Really?
Yeah, I might have to go like walk up the stairs a couple of times or something.
Well, that's your exercise. They always tell you the best come after an exercise.
That's right.
Right?
Do some laps or something. Yeah. I don't know who's pooping on command.
Just drink some coffee, go out and run a little bit, and you'll be ready to roll, my friend. I'm telling you what, you'll be ready to rock and roll.
We gotta quit ooping these great marketing ideas like Mahomes Magic Dump. Like we need to start trademarking some of these.
And Chia Pat.
Chia Pat is another one that I think we really gotta get trademarked. Right away.
I saw a license plate yesterday that said Chia Pet. I almost like freaked out because I was like, oh my God, they already got a license plate that says Chia Pet on it.
Gotta get on it quick, man.
Yeah, it said Chia Pet on it. This situation with Joe Thomas is very reminiscent to me of what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll explain why next.
Fesco in the morning. Fesco in the morning.
All right, back at it at Hillcrest here on 610 Sports Radio. Josh is off today. Ryan Witkowski with us. Kramer back at the station pushing the buttons. Off tournament that I'm sure, I don't know if anybody's out there having fun, but it sure looks like it. There was a man with a guitar and a golf cart driving
there's
by.
There's too much booze to not be having fun.
Yeah, there's Erin Bradley Peters. She likes her cocktails. Look at this. She's got a case of Fireball rolling through here, too.
Okay,
so
right.
Very nice. Thank you, Erin. Very good.
Thanks to Jeremy Danner for bringing us some lovely beer.
Yeah, that's
I'm very
right.
excited about it. I don't think I've ever seen Danner wear socks.
No, that's a very good point. That is a very, very good point. There's Nick Paradise. He'll take you out on the golf course later on, Ryan, to hole 14, where you'll be pouring Apex beer and doing Jello shots with Jimmy Gaffney.
Nick's
over there
jacked,
at Manning
too.
Roofing.
I didn't know that.
Oh, Nick is real jacked. Yeah, Nick is a very fine-looking fellow.
Like, he's got that vein on the bicep.
Yeah, that's
once
called
you get
a vein.
That,
yeah,
yeah. That's you don't have the vein on the bicep.
I got him
dude.
In my forearms a little.
That doesn't
bit,
count.
But he's ripped.
Because
yeah.
you're sinewy.
Sinewy. What the hell is sinewy?
You're
mean?
Stringy.
No, I'm very stringy. I look like spaghetti squash. Joe Thomas going to poop on his desk of the boss, right?
We talked like about Carrington pooped on the.
That's
on
right.
The
that's a good
pool.
Tie-in. Yeah, very good tie-in to that. Just he is out
trash.
of the Survivor pool. But Joe Thomas talking about potentially getting traded to the Broncos that year is very reminiscent of what's going on here with the Chiefs right now, and potentially Patrick Peterson being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's where the Cleveland Browns should have realized, look, we're not going anywhere. We're a bad football team, and Joe Thomas isn't going to make us a better team. Quite honestly, fans aren't buying tickets to go watch Joe Thomas play tackle. I don't know if you've ever bought a ticket to go watch an NFL offensive lineman play. Maybe Will Shields.
I mean, I bought a ticket to go watch a quarterback play, and he doesn't play unless his offensive line's playing well in front of him, so I give credit where credit's due.
But you're not saying, man, I'm going to watch Joe Thomas play today. Like, he's not putting butts in the seats. And in Cleveland in those years, which same as it is now, not very good when it comes to the Browns. Why they didn't trade Joe Thomas and get some draft capital back in return at that stage of the game is beyond me, because you know Denver would have overpaid with Peyton Manning and being on the cusp of winning a championship. They would have overpaid, just like I think the Chiefs will ultimately overpay, you know, for another team overpay, but not for them, for Patrick Peterson. Like, ultimately, you are going to get a lot out of it if you're that team. And if you're going nowhere, to hold on to a star player like Joe Thomas did in Cleveland, and what they're seemingly doing with Patrick Peterson out in Arizona, like, these teams aren't doing what's best for their organizations by holding on to these star players that can help a contender, and ultimately maybe you get picks back in return that can help you down the road.
I think you're right for two reasons. Number one, I think that Brett Veach is the type of guy that when he sees something he wants, he's going to go out and get it. We've seen it with Breland Speaks. We've seen it with Mecole Hardman. I mean, he has not been afraid to trade to go get it, even if it means trading draft equity to go get it. And so I think if he's identified Patrick Peterson, look, I don't know if he has or not, but I think if he is identified, that's my guy, and that's the only guy I want to go after, yeah, he's going to stop at nothing to get there. The other reason I think you're right about that is because you've got Patrick Mahomes, and I think that to a degree, and look, I'm not saying you just want to get rid of all your draft picks and you don't need any of them, but I think to a degree you start to devalue some of those higher picks because you're like, look, I don't need to draft an impact wide receiver right now. Mahomes can elevate that guy around me. So I think that you do start to have a little bit of a devaluation of that because of how good your quarterback situation is and the fact that you don't need to continually be building around things like that. So I think that, you know, Brett Veach, if he's in the position to say, look, I need to give up a two, I need to give up, God forbid he gives up a one. Like, you know, if
he gives up a one and they get him and they win the Super Bowl, who gives a rat's ass? They're picking 32. You know, it's like, who cares?
I mean, that's also a fair point. But I think that just when you look at Patrick Mahomes, you say, what do I need impact player-wise? If you're bringing in Patrick Peterson, you're going to have him for, what, a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not drafting a cornerback high next year. You're not, at least – you probably still would in the second or third, but you know you're gonna add to that, but you're not using that first round pick. Essentially, your first round pick would be Patrick Peterson.
Right.
I'm fine doing that with an all-pro corner.
And I'm also to the point where I look at it and it's win at all costs now. I mean the Royals did it and won. Now it doesn't happen every time, obviously, but what is going to help you win a championship more, Patrick Peterson or holding on to that first round draft pick? Ultimately, Patrick Peterson is going to help you win a championship more. So I know the Chiefs want to do the deal. It's just a matter of the Arizona Cardinals, you know, growing a sack and saying, all right, let's do this and let's make this deal possible. Because I think a lot of the times these teams get so blinded. And I've heard from guys in baseball, like the new regime of GMs and scouts, they follow social media and they care what people are saying on social media. And they get worried that people are going to rip them on social media. You can't worry about the short term in sports when you're an organization like the Arizona Cardinals. You have to worry about what's best for the long term because your odds of winning are in 2 years, not this year. And Patrick Peterson helps you win by trading him in 2 years more than he helps you, because you're not even going to have him in 2 years. So that's my take on that. We talked to Joe Mays earlier this morning here on 610 Sports Radio. Former Chiefs linebacker is going to join us every single Friday at 8 o'clock, and he talked about the rivalry with the Raiders from a player's perspective.
Yes, it is, especially when you're dealing with two organizations like the Chiefs and the Raiders. I mean, they've been rivals for how many years now?
Yeah, 60.
It's been a long time. And, you know, and of course, you know, the Raiders, nobody really likes them. So it's one of those games where, you know, it's real hate. Of course, it's not off the field, but on the field, it's real hate. So guys are definitely trying to play as hard as they can because they know the Raiders are going to bring it. So, and plus they have that, you know, just a history about them, you know, that just that win, baby win, and, you know, being one of the fastest teams and being one of the most physical teams and the toughest teams in the league, you want to make sure you're playing up to that.
So that's what he's saying about the rivalry with the Raiders. And it's good to hear that, Ryan, from a player's perspective, because I think for the most part, we think that, you know, from a player standpoint, the rivalry isn't the same as it is, you know, from a fan standpoint, obviously. And Joe Mays is going, oh, no, with the Raiders it is. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the
10
same.
10 minutes before we asked Joe that, I was telling you, I think it means more to the fans than it does the players.
And I think it still does, but maybe the rivalry thing or maybe the Raider thing is different for these players, because it sure seems like Joe only played here 1 year, right? And he's living here in Kansas City now because he loves it so much. But I think when you talk to players, maybe they all just have a deep-seated hatred for the Oakland Raiders.
I mean, I can understand they do come off very easy to hate, and for a couple of reasons. Number one is they are a national fan base. Like,
right.
We hate those national fan bases, the
right.
Cowboys, the Steelers, the Raiders, you know, like those types of teams that get that national attention, especially here in Kansas City. Look, I call it an inferiority complex if you want. We care about what people think about us, and we get mad when you're not talking about us.
You know,
when you're doing well, we expect to turn on SportsCenter and see Patrick Mahomes, and we expect to see the Royals in 2015. And when we didn't see it, we got all up in arms about it. And so I think there's a little bit of that to it too, right? Like, we don't like the Raiders because they get national attention, because they're a national fan base. They have, you know, a big part of pop culture. I know, I'm a kid growing up in the 90s. I mean,
of course,
Raiders and pop culture were really
so
intertwined.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I think there are a lot of very surface reasons for you to dislike the Raiders, not only from a fan aspect, but from also a player aspect.
But you don't dislike the Raiders and Cowboys because they win, because the Raiders haven't won a championship since 84. Now, they did go to the Super Bowl in, what, 2002 or whatever it was, but they haven't won a championship since 84, and the Dallas Cowboys haven't won one since 93 or 94.
I mean,
so it's been a long time since they won, though, you know?
There are certain teams, especially the Raiders, too, that just get that, you know, we're full of dirty players.
Right.
Like, we're a dirty team,
yeah,
and our coaching staff's dirty, and our players are dirty, and, you know, that whole just win, baby mentality. Like,
and Al Davis was kind of a guy that was – he had a punchable face, you know? Like, you didn't like that guy.
Oh, so wasn't,
right?
Al Davis always the guy that voted no on anything?
Everything. Yeah, like, it was always 31-1, and Al Davis was always dissenting and things like that. And he wore a white sweatsuit all the time that looked like he may have defecated a few times in it himself. But I think ultimately, you know, when you look at the Oakland Raiders, I think
– Why are you besmirching the name of a dead man? You don't know this to be fact.
The greatness of the Raiders. Because I don't know. You just form perceptions. Like, I remember seeing him in the elevator.
And your,
you know,
perception of Al Davis was it looked like he had taken a crap in his pants.
He looked like – I mean, he looked so bad, you know, at the end in those years in Kansas City, you know, when Vermeil was a coach. And I'd see Al Davis in this dirty, like, white jumpsuit in the elevator. Like, you could tell he hadn't taken that off in months.
Well, you know how hard it is to find those nowadays?
That's true, yeah.
You're not finding those tracksuits just laying around.
That's true. That is a good point. So it was probably from the 70s. It hadn't been bleached or washed in years. It just looked like it looked like he sat in it and smoked like 12 cigarettes in 10 seconds because it had like a nicotine yellow color
rest
on
in
it.
Peace, Al Davis.
And it was just, ugh, I just didn't like it. So that's part of the reason why as well. Now, the other thing we talked about when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs is something you and I kind of disagreed upon, but Joe Mays took my side of it, and it comes to whether or not he thinks the Raiders are going to go after Mahomes' ankle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to use a little bit of strategy when playing against your opponents. I mean, you know, if you see a weakness, you definitely attack it. And with Mahomes, you know, having that ankle injury, you better believe that, you know, the Raiders, they're going to try to get it any way they can. You know, whether they're not going to necessarily dive right at his feet, but, you know, in the pile, they might, you know, twist or turn an ankle, because those type of things, it happens. And it's a lot of things that, you know, the fans doesn't necessarily see. And it's a lot of things that you don't get a chance to catch on TV. So, yeah, I mean, it's always those type of little dirty games that's played within the game. And, you know, you want to do whatever you can to get a leg up.
When he was saying that, I don't know if you were on the same wavelength as I was with this one, but when he's talking about things you do in a pile and you're underneath and there's things you don't see on TV, did you immediately think of Sean Smith grabbing a handful of sack?
Yes. Old nut grabber Smith.
That's my guy, too. But, like immediately, I just go, oh, so you're talking about Sean Smith out here grabbing some, aren't you?
I mean, you know how they tell you to give people the crazy eyes, you know, just to, like, throw them off a little bit? I feel like that's enough. Like, when another man squeezes you in the coin purse, you kind of, you know, he's not really, you know, working with a full deck.
And then, like, he told Danny to suck a pickle that one time. It
Sean
was so
Smith
good. Like, he was the absolute best. Had the note from the commissioner that he read. I mean, like, that guy, I love that guy. One of my favorites.
I don't disagree with you that I think the Raiders will likely go after that ankle. And they'll likely, you know, try to dial up some more pressure, probably some pressure up the middle, get to the quarterback a little bit quicker. I think that Andy Reid is good enough making adjustments, and we saw it last week, to where he'll eliminate a lot of those deep drops. He'll eliminate a lot of that, and he'll start getting the ball out of Mahomes' hand quicker. We saw it last week, Bob. I mean,
yeah.
And he did it on the fly. You've had a whole week now to prepare for this, and look, we heard from Eric Bieniemy earlier in the show, said, look, we're not changing anything. Pat's going to be Pat. Yeah, I think they are going to change a few things, right?
Like, yeah, I think we're going to see the running game involved a lot more too, dude.
Well,
like, I do.
I think as you start to work Shady into the mix a little more too, you're going to see a little more of that increase. But you've had an entire week to sit down and talk to Patrick Mahomes and say, how's that ankle feel? You've had a week of practices to look at him and say, hey, how are you reacting to this?
Yeah.
How's it feel after you've been on it for a couple hours? How's it feel, you know, when you wake up in the morning? How's it, like, they've had a week to get all this ready. So I don't think it's going to be as big of a factor as some fans think it'll be. Hell, I think a lot of people kind of forgot about it, because there wasn't a lot of conversation
right,
about it.
But you know the Raiders didn't forget about it. And
correct.
That's what concerned – I don't care if we forgot about it. Like, those guys are dirty. Joe Mays said it. They're dirty. They're going to go after it. And I just don't want that to happen. So, offensive line, the onus is on you guys to get out there and protect – Patrick Mahomes. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we say it every week. We don't even listen to the show the entire time, but my guy Billy Coons does. What we learn with Billy Coons next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back at it, wrapping up a beautiful Friday morning here at Hillcrest Golf Club for the BMA Foundation's annual golf tournament. It is the golf tournament of the year, and it is absolutely one of the best golf tournaments you could ever be a part of. There's all kinds of fun to be had on just about every single hole. Smokehouse Barbecue catering lunch for everybody today. Ooh. There are, I understand, some Jell-O is out there on the court. There's some Fireball. There's beers. There's all kinds of good stuff. So everybody can have a good time at the BMA Foundation Golf Tournament. If you want to sign up and get your table now for Dancing with the Stars, it is the first Saturday in June this year. I think it's June 6th is the date. Would you like to go watch that this year, Ryan?
Are you going to be dancing?
I am emceeing. So
I'm in on that.
So, yes, it is the first Saturday in June down at the Overland Park Convention Center. BMAFoundation.org is the name of the foundation's website. Go out there and check it out, all the great things we do here in Kansas City, really all the great stuff Jerry Anselmo does. Don't tell him I said that, giving him a little credit, but he's an amazing human being and a guy I love dearly.
If you haven't seen the video of Bob and Dancing with the Stars, you need to Google that up right now.
It's on YouTube, yeah. You can absolutely check it out.
It's good. It's a little chubby shuffle you did there.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I would still dance the same way, though, now, even though I lost the weight, because I'm not a dancer.
You don't think you just have no rhythm?
Is that what it is? I have none whatsoever. Like, zero rhythm, and my oldest daughter has got it from me, and it's really, really sad.
I've heard that the rhythm's going to get you, though.
It does, every once in a while. Every once in a while. Each week.
It's also a dancer.
Yeah, huh? It is. Each week, we do 20 hours of radio. We hope you listen to all 20 hours of radio here with us.
I log 12 and a half, maybe.
Is that maybe what you get? Yeah, I'm at 11, maybe 11 and a quarter hours.
I don't even tune in until like 7:30.
8 o'clock the max, and clearly you don't listen as much as our friend Billy Coons listens down in Oklahoma City. You could say a fan of mine, I guess you could say.
One could say he's a fan.
A fan, and each week we take a look back at the week that was with our friend Billy Coons.
Hello, this is Billy Coons, and this is what we learned on Fesco in the Morning for this week. On Monday, we learned the guys recap the Kansas City Chiefs win at Jacksonville. And the guys discussed Chiefs fans upset with CBS for switching the game to a more competitive NFL game. And Bob and Josh talked about Sammy Watkins with sensational performance for the Chiefs on Sunday. And Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas joined the show to discuss Chiefs football. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh spoke on the NFL fans freaking out the way ESPN was covering the game. And legend Bob is an expert on ketchup. And Dana News joined the show to discuss Chiefs football. And Bob and Josh said the Chiefs won't be using Dustin Colquitt to punt this year because the offense is very explosive. On Wednesday, we learned the clown show Antonio Brown is being sued in a silver court. And we learned legend Bob is an expert on whiskey drinks. And the guy says Kansas City Chiefs will win easily at Oakland because they're not really good. And the guys talked about Kevin Durant crying and complaining that nobody likes him in Oklahoma City. And legend Bob says juice balls are helping the MLB because of all the home runs. On Thursday, Bob and Josh talked about Jorge Soler hitting home runs for the Royals. And Ben Maller joined the show to discuss NFL football coming this week. And Bob and Josh talked about the rivalry between the two cities, Oakland and Kansas City. And we learned legend Bob is a sniffer. And Therese Perelert joined the show to discuss Chiefs football. It's a great week to listen to legend Bob, I with Josh, and brother Ryan. Talk to you later.
You said you're a sniffer.
A sniffer?
Are you an expert sniffer? Or are you
what
just
the
sniffer?
Hell does that mean, a sniffer?
You said you were a sniffer the other day. I didn't know what it meant when you said it. didn't know you were an expert on whiskey drinks, though.
Well, I think we're talking about this, the screwball peanut butter whiskey or something.
Oh, that is good. Really, I put
good
that
stuff
in some chocolate milk. You recommended
that.
Yeah.
The first time,
I didn't think it was that good. Then I added way more whiskey the second time.
And it was much better. Very good stuff.
You get a good, like a 2-to-1 ratio, whiskey to chocolate milk.
Yeah, our friend Ralph Miller bought 2 bottles of that for the weekend, so he's going to have himself fun out in Tonganoxie this weekend. So go get him, Ralph, and enjoy the peanut butter whiskey out there in Tongi, and hopefully the Chiefs get a big-time victory for everyone. All right, it is time to kind of look back and figure out what we're going to predict for this weekend's game as the Chiefs get set to take on the Oakland Raiders for the final time in Oakland. We talked earlier about if you could go back and watch a game in an NFL stadium that doesn't exist anymore, which one would it be? And for me, I said Mile High. You said the Silver Dome up in Pontiac, Michigan. I think the NFL is a little bit different than baseball. Like, you had those cool old baseball parks, you know. In football, you didn't necessarily have those great old-time cathedrals. Like, you could say you like to go old. see a game at Yankee Stadium
like
or something like that.
Candlestick.
Candlestick would have been cool to go see a game.
Most of them just got old and fell apart.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't age well.
And most of them were those cookie-cutter stadiums as well that they all just imploded, like the Vet, like Cincinnati. Who else had one? Pittsburgh had the old, Three Rivers Stadium that was a multi-purpose stadium that they just ultimately ended up imploding. So those aren't places like
NFL stadiums
I need
to go. A lot like Carrington Survivor picks. They don't age well.
They don't age well. No, it didn't really make it further in life than they probably, like, you don't really care to go see a game in old Texas Stadium where the Cowboys used to play. Places like that, or the Astrodome. Like, would you ever want to go to a game in the Astrodome?
I mean, maybe just because I'd want to, relive the Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good
that type of thing. But you're like, but not, you don't really have to go to a game at a place like that. Not like baseball where I'd love to have gone to a game at Ebbets Field or, old Yankee Stadium or, some of these palaces or the Polo Grounds or places that really don't exist anymore. And even like arenas like, the old Boston Garden or old Madison Square Garden. You're like, all those sports had venues that were boom, big time venues that people wanted to go. And you look around the NFL, which is 100 years old now, the most popular sport in America, and there weren't a whole lot of historical venues that you need to see a game in,
I don't think the thought has ever crossed my mind, boy, I really need to go to Oco Coliseum.
Right.
I never thought about that.
But
I think it'd be cool to go sit in the black hole, but I don't know how safe that would be for me.
Right.
But just to rock a Mahomes jersey and just sit front row center in the black hole.
I think if you behave yourself and you do it the right way, you're going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? I think you would be fine. Me, I'd get my ass kicked because I'd be a jerk. I got punched at Lambeau one time, okay? So, I mean, that's hard to do.
I want to punch you at least twice a week.
Right, so.
I fight the urge, by the way.
I know you do. It's good for you. You'd probably go to jail now as an adult. But,
You would press charge. You would be that guy.
No,
I'd call the cops right away.
I wouldn't, but, who knows? Maybe this guy would. Walk, how you doing, sir? But for me, that old true football stadium is Lambeau Field, and that's still there. You can still go and see that old school venue. But I just
– Somebody saying maybe old Municipal Stadium. That would be kind of
cool. I would – yeah, that's one I would like
to
go
back to. The old gold end zones.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Well, they're having gold end zones for the home opener this year.
Say what?
Yeah, the gold end zones are coming back for the home opener.
Daddy,
am I allowed to say that?
I don't know.
I just did. Nobody told me I couldn't. So
it's
but
not a podcast here,
right.
Bob. Live on the radio.
Sorry, gold end zones opening day, Arrowhead Stadium. But I think you're right. Municipal Stadium would be really cool. But if you want to go to one of the best venues in the NFL, that is one of the biggest, most important venues, you can still do that. And I think that's pretty cool. Big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
Big finish here on 610 Sports Radio. Time for your prediction. I called it on Wednesday, 40-24. The Chiefs will win this one. You can talk yourself into why you think the Chiefs may lose or why you think it may be a close game. But ultimately, when it comes to talent, pound for pound, and including the coaching staffs, the Kansas City Chiefs have a huge advantage over the Oakland Raiders. I don't think this is going to be much of a football game, and I think much like the Jacksonville game, it will never, ever be in doubt. And you can enjoy the game on Sunday without getting nervous, without getting, sick to your stomach and things of that nature. You're going to be able to enjoy this football game on Sunday and enjoy a beatdown for the final time at the Odaco Stadium to the Oakland Raiders.
I think you're going to enjoy the offensive performance. I'm not so sure about the defensive performance. I think that the Oakland Raiders are the exact type of team that can give you some fits, control the clock, control the ball, use their rookie running back, Josh Jacobs, who had a great yard per carry average last week, who we already know the Raiders have said we want to go for a 50-50 split of the ball, and they were right down the middle last week, Bob. So I think that this is the type of team that can give you fits. I think the Chiefs win this game, but I think it's going to be a hell of a lot closer than a lot of fans are giving it credit for.
Well, and I think you should adopt my philosophy. Don't get upset about the defense until October.
I'm not getting upset about it, but I think I can at least foreshadow. I can look at what's happening. And I don't have to sit there and be blindly optimistic about it. I can say, hey, look, I think there are some concerns. That's not breaking news. There are some real concerns in the secondary. Look, I'm giving Frank Clark that pass. I'm not getting up in arms about the fact that a $100 million man didn't make 19 sacks in his first game. I don't care, right? He did his job, and you can tell. And Frank Clark talking to the media this week was talking about, hey, you know, I got those kind of jitters out of the way. Now I can just go play football.
Yeah, now you can do it. All right, that's the Big Finish brought to you by Evernew Clinic, Casey's first intimate health clinic for men and women. Proven results for good, very good. Visit evernewclinics.com. That's EVRNUclinics.com. Thanks to everyone out here at Hillcrest, the BMA Foundation, and Kramer for filling in back there while Josh is taking a siesta to wherever it is that he is eating lobster. Chiefs win.
Who do you think Carrington's taking next week in Survivor?
He's not taking anybody. Show and Vern will make fun of him.
Trash! Next.